you could send us a selfie of you on the Caloundra Facebook page later on, and we'll see that you're watching. Anyway, it's good to know that we are all joined together. I want to start today by reading some verses of the Bible together as we come together and worship on this Palm Sunday. The first verses we have are from Psalm 118. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. And over to verse 19. Open for me the gates of the righteous. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad. Amen. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine on us. With bows in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. And over to Zechariah for some verses today that fit into our Palm Sunday readings. A prophecy from Zechariah. Shout jubilantly, O daughter of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming. He is righteous and he is able to save. He comes seated humbly on a donkey, on a colt, a foal of a donkey. I will dismantle Ephraim's chariots, retire the war horses from Jerusalem, send home the archers to their families in peace. He will make peace with the nations. His sovereignty will extend from coast to coast, from the Euphrates River to the limits of the earth. Amen. And may God continue to speak to us as we look into his word. Just want to give you a few community time points and to let you know a couple of things. So you should have received a letter in the mail if you're part of our church community and you're regularly attending here. If not, let us know in the office. There's another letter on the way, and we'll also be using email. So if you use email, we'd love you to check out your emails and see if you've got that message. There's a pastoral care team working hard to make sure that everyone stays connected. If you haven't heard from anyone and you're a bit worried, give someone a call, and also, again, ring us in the office and let us know. Connect, we're still running out of Connect for emergency relief here, and it will be open Monday to Friday from 10 till 11. If you know someone that's in need, or you yourself find yourself in a position where you need something, please contact us. Community dinner will continue to operate, but as a takeaway meal, and also last week we tried a drive-through experience, and we just want to work in whichever way suits our needs right now and suits people and fits into our community. So if you know of someone again that could do with a hot meal, we have that option Tuesday night. Between 5 and 6. Self-denial appeal, I just want to let you know we've received many of your envelopes and we know that people have been asking about making payments online. Thank you for that. Thank you that love continues to look beyond. And in this time of self-preservation and worry about what's happening next, we know that God's love is bigger. We want to support people around the world through the Salvation Army's self-denial appeal. Again, if you have questions about how to do that, or if you have an envelope and you want someone to collect that from you, or you need to drop something off, please call us in the office. The General of the Salvation Army, General Brian Peddle, has sent a message, and we're going to watch that clip now on the screen. Hopefully you can see it all on the screen here. Thanks.
Greetings, Salvationists and friends. Our world has changed, and whether we like it or not, we have all been pulled toward a new normal.
that doesn't come up and we can't get that working, that's okay. We'll put it onto the Facebook page and you can see that, we'll share that. I'll just check with Tim if it's going to come or not screen. I'll just give it a minute. General Brian Pearl talks about what it's like in London, and you'll see on the clip it's a different kind of view if you've ever been to London. And I've seen photos of places around the world. It's looking very different at the moment. Different, but not fearfully different.
Greetings, salvationists and friends.
A prayer that Salvation Army have prepared and sent out as a resource, and it's a prayer for particularly looking at the coronavirus and for people around the world and for many.
Greetings, Salvation.
Tim, we might leave that, come back to it.
Patients and friends. Our world has changed, and whether we like it or not, we have all been pulled toward a new normal. I live in London in the United Kingdom with millions of people, and it seems like someone has pressed a pause button. Maybe, like me, you could never have imagined our skies without airplanes, or our streets and sidewalks without people. Countless doors to businesses closed and locked to the public. Yet, this is our current reality. I am aware that it is wise and necessary to follow the advice so that together we join in the fight against COVID-19. I am doing my part. Still, there is a literal army of people, essential people, who are supporting us. I want to say thank you. There are also enlightened moments that each of us receives when we become acutely aware of our neighbor's need. We become good Samaritans. Thank you. We're also an army that continues to serve all around the world. Some are putting themselves at risk. And I say to you, be careful, be safe, but thank you as well. Our program services at International Headquarters is in full-on rapid response mode. I'm grateful to the International Salvation Army. I'll give a shout-out to SAZO in the United States and acknowledge incredible generosity. Everyone is helping. Thank you. I do admit to a growing sense that there are many who are mourning in these days. Others are facing imminent hunger and the threat of food insecurity. And there are others, people who have basic needs that are not being met. While we do all that we can, I want to be clear and remind us that in the midst of helplessness and even hopelessness, God comes alongside. In fact, salvationists believe that God is sovereign. And it is with that understanding that when we face every difficulty, every uncertainty, these become the trigger for prayer, lifting each other and praying for ourselves as God's people. Luke 19 reminds us of the triumphal entry of Jesus. And this particular weekend, we will celebrate Palm Sunday, the claim of a king. Hear the words of Scripture. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Now, I'm not asking you to find a palm branch and march around your house, even though some may very well do that. I am asking, though, that you cry, Hosanna, God save us. Jesus said to the crowd on that occasion, if the disciples were silent, then the stones would cry out. Well, I'm not going to let any stone speak for me. So hear today from my lips, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. I am certain that if you will welcome Christ today, he will come. He will come alongside and he will walk with you. May God bless you today in your joys, in your sorrows, and in all of the uncertainties of tomorrow. Amen.
Last week, we heard that some of you were watching with a cup of tea. So if you've got your cup of tea, that's great. This is an opportunity for you to actually join in. We've got these prayers here, which I just was starting to tell you about. Prayers that have been sent to us from resources in the territory so that we could all join in today with these prayers. And I invite you, if you can see the words on the screen, as I read these prayers, I'd invite you to join in with me. Heavenly Father, you are the hope and the healer of people. You have promised a world where there is no more sickness or crying or death. In these days, we look forward to that promised world and we pray your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Through our lives and by our prayers, your kingdom come. We ask that you would give wisdom to those who are seeking a vaccine for the coronavirus. We give you thanks for those who are treating the sick and ask that you would give them strength and compassion. We ask that you comfort those who are mourning the loss of loved ones or living in fear of this disease. We pray your special protection over the most vulnerable, the sick, the homeless, and the elderly. Please give the government and health authorities wisdom in their management of this crisis. We ask that they would provide clear and timely guidance. Help us to trust in you, to look to you. May we know your peace and be generous and wise in the way we seek to show the love of Jesus to those around us, in our families, in our streets, and in our workplaces. Grant us tender hearts serve and a renewed confidence in your steadfast love, your compassion and mercy. Help us to be wise in the way we live. Turn the hearts of many now experiencing fear and anxiety that they may find peace and comfort in you. Open the hearts of all to the loving work of your Spirit. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. I invite you to voice your own prayers. Just take a moment or two to tell God what's on your heart, to ask him your prayers. We've got a photo here of two of our littlies kneeling in prayer to the Father. It's important in this time that we keep asking God, keep seeking, keep praying. So I'm just giving you a moment and then I'm going to pray. Father God, you know what is on our hearts. You know the prayers on our lips. And Lord, we thank you because you are faithful and you hear our prayers. Lord, as we look to you, as we examine your word, as we continue to call upon you, speak to us, speak to our hearts, and Lord, help us to listen. I pray for Tim now as he just brings this word to you, to all of us. And Lord, may it bless our hearts. May you be glorified in everything that we say and do. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Well, hello. I tell you what, I've got a newfound respect for tech guys. Wow. It's amazing. If things can go wrong, they will go wrong, hey? But we're up and running, which is good. And we're continuing our journey with Jesus. We've been looking at Jesus' journey through the book of John. And about 3 or 4 weeks ago, Karen spoke to us about a woman and Jesus at the well. And then Jesus offering her living water. And then her sharing that with her village so that everyone could have the opportunity of coming to know Jesus. And about 2 weeks ago, we were outside in our outside chapel, and Derek spoke to us about a man who was blind who met Jesus and received sight, and how wonderful that was, but also how upset the Pharisees were about that. And that started a cycle where there was Jesus against the Pharisees as the Pharisees tried to shut down Jesus and tried to quiet the people. And then last week, again, Karen spoke to us about Lazarus. Lazarus, who Jesus brought back from the dead, but also caused further consternation amongst the Pharisees. And so the Pharisees hatched a plan, and they said, if this Jesus appears, make sure you tell us about him, because they wanted to kill him, they wanted to destroy him. And not only him, but Lazarus as well. And so we open John chapter 12 with Jesus actually making his way back to Bethany, where Lazarus had been brought back from the dead. Now, Bethany is about 3 or 4 k's from Jerusalem. So it's not a big walk, it's about a 45-minute walk. So he is at Bethany with Lazarus and Mary and Martha, and he's having a meal. And the people hear about that, and they come. And they come to see Jesus. They come to see the guy who raised someone from the dead. What a spectacle. What a sensation. And so it says there in John chapter 12, verse 9, word spread of Jesus' presence, and a large crowd was gathering to see Jesus. And the former leader says, Lazarus, whom he had brought back from the dead. The chief priests were secretly plotting Lazarus' murder since, because of him, many Jews were leaving their teaching and believing in Jesus. See, the chief priests, their world had been rocked. They had a lovely equilibrium going where there were them and the Romans. And yes, they were under subjugation just like everyone else was. Yes, they were oppressed, but they didn't want the temple overrun. They felt they had a nice equilibrium. And this Jesus guy, he was upsetting it with this new teaching. And people were talking about him being some sort of Messiah, some sort of savior, someone who was going to upset the political stability. And so they wanted him dead, and they wanted Lazarus dead. But the people wanted something different. And so the people came in a great crowd. They came in a great crowd to Bethany, and then Jesus left with this great crowd on Palm Sunday. And they walked the 45 minutes or so on the way from Bethany to Jerusalem. The next day, a great crowd of people who had come to the festival, Passover, heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. How big was the crowd? Well, some scholars say there could have been up to 1 million people, maybe more, in Jerusalem at the time. How many of them spilled out to see this sensation, to see this wonder, to see this man who could bring people back from the dead? Maybe it was 1,000, maybe it was 10,000, maybe it was 100,000. It could very well have been. And so amongst this throng of people coming from Bethany, they met up with another group of people who were coming from Jerusalem who heard that Jesus was coming. Maybe he's the Messiah. Maybe he's the King. And they gathered branches of palm trees to wave as they celebrated his arrival. Now, what was that all about? Well, the palm trees had become, in the Jewish psyche, the Jewish way of thinking, a very nationalistic symbol of them coming and arising back into power. You might even think that when they waved the palm, they were thinking, make Israel great again. And so they came along because 100 years ago, there was a guy called Simon Maccabees, and he stood up revolutionary, conquered the Syrians. And when he came into Jerusalem, riding on a war horse, they brought out palms and they brought out cheers. And so, with echoes of that, the palm leaf had become a nationalistic symbol. They put it on their coins. It became a symbol of uprising. It became a symbol of the king. And so, as Jesus walked in, palm leaves were brought out, and the crowds were shouting, Hosanna! He who comes in the name of the Lord is truly blessed, and is King of all Israel. And as General Peddle told us, Hosanna. Hosanna means the one who's going to save us, the one who's going to help us. And the crowd are calling from Psalm 118, which Karen read to us earlier on. Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Hosanna, save us. Hosanna, help us. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Because these were a people who were oppressed. These were a people who were under the thumb. And they wanted freedom. They wanted a conqueror. They wanted victory. They wanted a fresh start. And they thought Jesus was the one who was going to give it to them. And so they added to the end of their praises of Psalm 118, a Davidic psalm, a psalm that talks about the Messiah coming, that they welcomed Jesus, King of all Israel. They made it clear that Jesus was going to be crowned as king. But what they didn't understand was that Jesus was a different sort of king. Yes, Jesus was coming to receive a crown, but it wasn't the sort of crown that they thought. And yes, Jesus was coming to be enthroned, but not the sort of throne that they thought. You see, Jesus was going to receive a crown of thorns, and Jesus was going to be enthroned on a cross. And so, it's only days later that this same crowd gets disenchanted. And instead of shouting, "Hosanna, save us," they shout, "Crucify him." So how does Jesus react? This crowd of 10,000, 50,000, as he goes along, can he tell them they've got it all wrong? Well, they only half had it all wrong, because he was the king. He was the king who was coming to save. But he was a different sort of king than they expected. He was going to come and save them from sin, coming to take sin upon himself upon the cross, coming to save them from death and the fear of death by rising to death, and death no longer being a thing that we need to worry about. And he was also going to save them from fear. Fear of death and even fear itself. And so Jesus found a young donkey. He sat on it and he rode through the crowds, mounted on this small beast. What did that mean? Well, the donkey at the time was a symbol of peace. It was a symbol of humility. And as I said, Simon Maccabees came in on a war horse. But when people from the Old Testament entered into villages or entered into cities, and they were people of prominence, and they wanted to promote peace and humility, they would ride a donkey. And there's plenty of examples of that in the Old Testament. And so Jesus was saying to the crowd, without having to get them under control, because how do you get a crowd of 10,000 or 100,000 who are shouting Hosanna to listen to you? Well, you show us what it's like by symbols. And so he came in on a young donkey. And later, when the disciples were thinking about this, later when John was thinking about this, they realized what Jesus was doing. And they realized that the scriptures foretold this. "Daughter of Zion, do not be afraid. Watch, your king is coming. You will find him seated on the colt of a donkey." But John does an interesting thing here. You see, that's from Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, which Karen read to us before. And I'll read it to you again. And notice the difference. "Daughter of Zion, do not be afraid. Watch, your king is coming." This is from the Message version, but you'll still be able to get it. "Shout and cheer, daughter of Zion. Raise the roof, daughter of Jerusalem. Your king is coming." You see the difference? In Zechariah, there's shouts and there's rejoicing and there's high praise. But John says, do not be afraid. Your king is coming, a good king who makes all things right, a humble king riding on a donkey, a mere colt of a donkey. "I've had it with war. No more chariots in Ephraim. No more war horses in Jerusalem. No more swords and spears, bows and arrows. He will offer peace to the nations, a peaceful rule worldwide, from the four winds to the seven seas." You see, these people who were shouting and cheering were really a people whose foundation was fear. And we know that's true because Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, so quickly became crucify him, when their expectations weren't met. And fear is at the base of a lot of things that are going on today, but I'm going to talk to you about that in a minute. Daughter of Zion, that's the people of Jerusalem, do not be afraid. Australia, do not be afraid. Your king is coming. Now, as I said, the disciples did not understand any of this at the time, because these truths did not sink in until Jesus had been glorified. As they reflected on their memories of Jesus, they realized these things happened just as they were written. Jesus was meant to come into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. The crowd was meant to rejoice, but it had to happen that the crowd would turn when their expectations weren't met, when they thought a conqueror was coming, and yet Jesus had come to conquer sin and death. that exaltation turned to crucifixion. But if Jesus wasn't crucified, we couldn't be free. If Jesus wasn't crucified, he couldn't be glorified. He couldn't be raised from the dead. So these things had to happen the way that they happened. So I'm going to talk to you about the people that were there that day, the people that were in the crowd, maybe some groups of people that you can identify with. So the first one is the sharer. As it says there in John chapter 12, those who witnessed the resurrection of Lazarus enthusiastically spoke of Jesus to all who would listen. And that is why the crowd went out to meet him. They had heard of the miraculous signs he had done. They were sharers. They had seen Lazarus be brought back from the dead. Not that long ago. It was fresh in their minds. And so when Jesus was there with Lazarus and making his way, they were only too keen to share the good news. The good news that someone could bring someone back from the dead, that someone could conquer death, that death no longer need be a problem for us. And so they ran out enthusiastically and brought the crowd in. And that is still our job today. Jesus still conquers death. Jesus still conquers fear. Jesus still conquers sin. And so our job is to share the good news. Have you experienced freedom from sin and fear and death? Well, I hope you have. And if you have, you need to share the good news. As Paul says, if we don't tell people, how will they hear? So our job, just like those people who experienced the resurrection of Lazarus for themselves, is to share the good news. Be sharers. Now, the second sort of person who might have been in the crowd was the sightseer. This is the sort of person who maybe they heard, there was a sensation, maybe they saw a group of people rushing. If you've ever been somewhere and you see something happening, you get swept up with the crowd. What's going on? Who's going past? Maybe it's an important person. Maybe it's a movie star. Maybe it's a singing sensation. Maybe I can catch a quick glimpse and get out my phone. The sightseer, the tourist, they're curious. And it's okay to be curious about Jesus. And at the moment, I think people are more curious about God than ever before. It's a strange time in our world where people are asking questions. Where has this virus come from? What place does God play in this? Is this a curse from God? Is this a curse from Satan? Or is this something altogether? How is God going to get us out of this? Why do good things happen? What do bad things happen to people who are otherwise good? There are so many curious people. There are so many sightseers. But don't be a tourist. Don't see the sensation and go, well, that was interesting. And then when the crowd disperses, walk away. Stay and investigate what Jesus is all about. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Here's the answer. Once you have seen Jesus, find out about him, get to know him, and then you won't need to keep looking. You will have found your answer. So the third person, we've got the sharer, we've got the sightseer, and the squelcher. The squelcher, the person just wants to shut it all down, just doesn't want it to happen at all, doesn't want to have anything to do with it. In this case, that was the chief priests and the Pharisees. The chief priests were secretly plotting Lazarus' murder, since because of him, many Jews were leaving their teachings and believing in Jesus. The Pharisees to one another, it says in verse 19, our efforts to squelch him have not worked, but now is not the time for action. Look, the world is following after him. They are waiting for their time. They wanted to put a lid on it. They didn't want the equilibrium that they had sorted out between the Romans and themselves to be changed. And the people were oppressed. And they were partly oppressed because of the squelchers who just wanted things to stay exactly the same. Now, we're in a situation in the world where things are very different. I mean, I'm standing talking to you in an empty hall. This doesn't feel like church at all. And we've got limitations on what we can do and can't do, who we can see and who we can't do. And I know this is a public health emergency. It is a health emergency that the government has put in place, and it's for our own good. But it seems to me that maybe we need to see this rather than thinking this as a bad thing, because the things that we could normally do, we can no longer do. We should say, what is God doing this in this? What is the Holy Spirit doing in this? Because now more than ever, things are changing. People are rethinking stuff, as I've said. So many conversations I've had, Karen has had as well, just with people in the community. How is this going to work out? So many opportunities to share Jesus. So many more opportunities to connect with people through these sort of mediums and through pastoral conversations that we've had on the phone. And in some ways, I feel more connected to some people than ever before. Some people who may not have come to church very often on Sunday, but I've been able to connect with them in other ways. And people coming along offering help for us. The Spirit is doing something in this situation. The Holy Spirit is doing something in this bad situation. So we shouldn't go, oh, but things aren't the way that they used to be. Well, the reality is that things aren't the way that they used to be. And things may never be the way that they used to be again. But we should look to God and think, what is God doing? What is the Holy Spirit doing? And then get on board. Look for opportunities that are here now that weren't there before. There is so much prayer. There is so much prayer going on. I don't think Australians have prayed in this integrated way as a group of Christians ever before. This is an amazing time. This is a great opportunity. I know it's a dangerous time as well, and it's a bit of a scary time, but let's look to what Jesus is doing. Let's look to what the Spirit is doing, and let's move in His direction. The sharers, the sightseers, the squelchers, and the squashed. I think this is actually the bulk of the people in the crowd. The bulk of the people were the squashed. They were the people who had been under the pump. They had been conquered by the Romans. The religious leaders had put all these limitations on what they could do and what they can't do. Actually, all these man-made rules. And they were looking for a saviour. They were looking for a way out. They were looking for a king who would conquer. And I wonder, just now, what we are looking for Jesus to be. You see, these guys who were squashed, they were disappointed. They were heartily disappointed when Jesus didn't turn out to be the person that they thought he was. And so, only a few days later, Pilate brings out Jesus, and he brings out Barabbas. And he says, which one of these will you free? And they say, free Barabbas, free the freedom fighter. That's who we want. We want someone who will raise a sword. We want someone who will champion us in this way. What shall I do with Jesus? Crucify him, they yelled. Crucify him. What are our expectations right now at this time for what Jesus will do for us? Are we looking for someone who will somehow magically take COVID-19 away? Now, I know we have prayed that God will be with us in this situation, and he will. But I wonder what our expectations are. And if they aren't met, if we have visions of casting out COVID-19 and it doesn't happen because God has other plans for this, whether we will be bitterly disappointed. I think we need to look to Jesus in a similar way to the way that Jesus portrayed himself. He was a king of peace. He was a king who conquered fear. He was a king who conquered sin. He was the king who conquered death when he rose again. And I think it's fear. I think it's fear that really is the thing that has come up against us at the moment. And it's fear that causes us to pile up toilet paper in the corner of our room. It's fear that causes us to have 3 months worth of food supplies in the cupboard. It's fear that causes some of us, and I've heard stories about people who won't even leave their house. That is not the sort of king that Jesus is. Jesus is king over that. And there's so many verses in the Bible that talk about fear, and they talk about anxiety, and they talk about how God overcomes that, overcomes the fear and anxiety. I know in Philippians 4:6, you might be familiar with this verse. Do not be anxious about anything, Paul writes, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Don't be anxious. Pray. Cast all your anxiety on him, Peter writes, because he cares for you. And when I hear stories of people who won't even leave their house, not to go outside for a walk, but won't even go into the backyard because they're afraid. We need to remember verses like 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Not a spirit of fear, because we are overcomers. We have the Spirit of Jesus living in us. Now, I know through last week, that one of our congregation who is over 70 performed a funeral. Now, he could have said, I'm not going to do that because I'm afraid. But he knew that wasn't the right thing to do. He had a relationship with the family. And so he performed that funeral. And then at one stage, it was obvious that one of the family members needed a hug because they were in such grief. And he gave them a hug. Now, he could have said, I can't do that because fear will stop me from doing that. But he knew that love trumps fear. He knew that perfect love drives out all fear, as 1 John chapter 4 says. And so he did that. He offered a hug when that person needed a hug. So we need to hold on to verses like that. Be strong and courageous. God told Joshua in 1 verse 9, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. But I want to focus on this one, John 14, 27. Because when Jesus came into Jerusalem, he went with the disciples away from the crowds, and he taught them. And there's many chapters before Jesus was captured in the garden and the end came. He spent some time with the disciples teaching, and he told them over and over again how things were going to be and how when the Holy Spirit came, they would receive a comforter. And he says this, peace I leave you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives, because the world will give us temporary answers. And at the moment, doesn't it seem like the answers that we're getting change day to day? Wear a mask, don't wear a mask. Stay inside, it'll be over in 2 weeks, it'll be over in 3 weeks, it'll be over in 6 months. We're getting temporary solutions because the situation is changing every day, and I'm not blaming them. They're just trying to figure it out just like the rest of us. But Jesus knows. Jesus already knows how it's going to play out. And so he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Hold on to that today. Hold on to the peace that only Jesus can give. If you are troubled, if you're afraid, if you're living in fear, remember that Jesus has conquered fear. Jesus has conquered death. Now there is a last group in the crowd. These are the surprised. And I think that actually they were all surprised because this didn't play out at all how they thought it might. The crowd that were crying out for a king was surprised when Jesus didn't turn out to be the conqueror that they wanted. So they yelled out, crucify him. The disciples were surprised when Jesus was killed on the cross. Because that's not what they thought. That's not how they thought this was going to play out. And everyone was surprised when Jesus came back from the dead. The squelchers, they still tried to squelch it. But how could they? Jesus had come back from the dead. He had been glorified. And because of that, things were different. Now it says there in John chapter 12, verse 16, the disciples did not understand any of this at the time. These truths did not sink in until Jesus had been glorified. So I'm going to ask you today to just ponder for a moment and let these truths sink in. Jesus came as the King of Israel. Jesus came as the conqueror, but maybe not the way that we expect. Jesus came to bring peace. Jesus came to bring love. Jesus came to conquer fear, to conquer sin, to conquer death. And because those things are no longer a problem for us, when they rise up, when they show their heads to us, when death is on the horizon, and sin lurks around the corner, and fear is ever present in the community, let these truths sink in that Jesus has conquered these things. Daughter of Zion, people of Jerusalem, people of Caloundra in Australia, do not be afraid. Watch, your King is coming. In fact, our King is here. We're going to listen to a song now. I must have the Saviour with me. Just the music's going to play in the background. The words are going to be on the screen. I must have the Saviour with me, for I dare not go. I must feel His presence near me and His arm around me thrown. I must have the Saviour. thank you for Jesus. We thank you that Jesus came. And we say, Hosanna. God save us. Jesus save us. Jesus help us. Jesus help us to overcome fear and anxiety. Jesus help us to not worry about the fact that we may be in lack. We may be in need. Because we know that you will meet our needs. Lord, help us to reach out to those in our community who we can help. And if we're in need of help, Lord, help us to reach out to those who are there to help us. Lord, I pray as we come up to this time of Easter, this sacred time, when we remember that you died for us, you took the weight of the world upon your shoulders, and you set us free from sin and fear and death. That is a glorious time. Because on Sunday you rose again, and the victory which is yours is also ours. Lord, help us to step into that victory today. We pray in Jesus' name. So thanks for being with us today. I'm just going to give a benediction to you, and I thought I might read Zechariah 9, verse 9 again, because it's a great passage, a great passage of rejoicing, just as a benediction. Shout and cheer, daughter of Zion. Raise the roof, daughter Jerusalem. Your king is coming, a good king who makes all things right, a humble king riding on a donkey, a mere colt of a donkey. I've had it with war, no more chariots, no more war horses, no more swords and spears, bows and arrows. He will offer peace to the nations, a peaceful rule worldwide, from the four winds to the seven seas. Have a blessed day.